Okay, so tonight, if you guys are taking notes, which you all should be taking notes, the title of this message is Return to Intimacy. Woo! Return to Intimacy, okay? And listen, we are all of no reputation. Ever seen no reputation? Well, if you call yourself a Christian, you've made yourself of no reputation. That's what Jesus did. Jesus, he said what he had to say, and he didn't say what he wasn't supposed to say, and he did what he was supposed to do, and he didn't care what people thought. He didn't care what people thought. And listen, and Jesus could perceive thoughts, by the way. Like, in the Bible, like, the Bible says over and over again, Jesus perceived their thoughts. Like, he knew what people were thinking. So Jesus knew what people were really thinking. Not only that, but a lot of people said it to his face. And yet Jesus kept doing what he was called to do. He made himself of no reputation. He didn't care about his social media likes. He didn't care about how many people were following him. Literally, when people started leaving Jesus, he turned to his disciples, the faithful ones, the one that he chose. He said, "You guys want to leave too?" Jesus had a mission and a purpose, and so many of us are swayed by people. So many of us, like, if you guys weren't here the last 2 weeks, or you guys missed one of the weeks, we did a two-part series. One was a preaching, one was a table talk on social media. Like, you guys have to listen to it, okay? Go listen to it. But Jesus was not swayed by people's opinions. He wasn't swayed by people's thoughts. And listen to me, guys. How freeing would it be? I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I would love it if I didn't care what people thought about me. I would love it. It would make going up to someone and saying, "Hey, Jesus loves you," or "Hey, do you need prayer for anything?" Or "Hey, your arm is broken. Let me pray for it." If I didn't care what that person thought about me, I could do it, because I don't care if you laugh at me. I don't care if you. Does that make sense? It's so freeing knowing that, like, that if we were just able to be set free of ourselves, how much we could accomplish. And not just like our insecurities, like as in, "Oh, what are people going to think about me?" But what if we were set free from our fears of failure? If Jesus came to you and said, "If you do my will, you go out there, you pray for people, and you go out there to tell people about Jesus, it is impossible for you to fail." How much confidence would you have? Like, "Wow, Jesus told me it's impossible for me to fail." You want to know something that's impossible? It is impossible for God to lie. And so if Jesus said you will go out there and you will lay hands on sick and they will recover, he's not lying. He's not lying. Amen? So, wow, that was a long tangent to say this. So Tuesday evenings, if you guys, and this is open to all of you, Tuesday evenings at 5:15, we're in the hangout and we're praying. We're praying and we're seeking Jesus. And we're in this season right now where we are focusing on intimacy. Because to the degree that God moves in our services, to the degree that God moves in our schools, to the degree that God moves in our families, is completely dictated on how much time you spend with him alone. How intimate are you with your Creator, the one who gives you purpose? So before camp, and like I said, and obviously, like, most of you probably don't even know who comes to prayer, to be honest. But I'm gonna talk about our prayer team a little bit, and all of them will admit, I'm pretty sure all of them admitted when we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, is that we've gotten away from intimacy. We've gotten away from intimacy. Me too, guys. Me too. Not just the prayer team, but me too. I've gotten away from that intimacy. And as the more I meditated on it, the Holy Spirit just began to show me things is that before camp, we were seeking God. We had so much faith and expectation before camp. And we got to camp, and it was like this amazing experience. And God spoke to you, and God encountered you, and God delivered you, and God gave you joy, and God gave you peace. And now after camp, and now there's no longer this desperation for a touch of God. Or you came to Sozo service, and God spoke to you, and that one thing that you're praying for, God answered that prayer, and all of a sudden there's no reason. You have no reason for that desperation to seek God. There's no reason to have that intimacy with him. We guys, are we not tired of living a roller coaster Christianity, where God takes us up high and then we forget about him, and then we end up low, and guys, do we have to wait for a crisis? Do we have to wait for a heartbreak to return to intimacy? Do we have to wait for that next thing that shakes us for us to start building our life again on that foundation of who he is? You guys all here? Because like I'm like, whoa. Amen. And so there's this return to intimacy. If you guys are taking notes, write this down. Encounters with God are meant to bring us to intimacy and not complacency. Say it again. You don't got to tell me again. Encounters with God are, I was back there studying. This is funny. I was back there studying, and then Antonio was back there doing homework. And like I was literally like, dude. He's like, what? I was like, encounters with God are meant to bring us to intimacy, not complacency. He's like, oh, that's good. I was like, I know. It was just so crazy. Listen, guys, this is not my sermon. It's not. Like, this is what, I promise you. I was sitting back there, and God just spoke to me. For me. God doesn't speak to me for you guys. He spoke to me for me. And I'm just sharing what God's speaking to me. Does that make sense? So I'm not, all of this applies to me just as much as it applies to all of us. And so when God spoke that to me, I was just so excited. I was like, oh my gosh. I thought that was pretty good. I'm like, I'll say it one more time. Encounters with God are meant to bring us to intimacy and not complacency. And that's, and I feel for a few of us, for many of us, for none of us, for all of us, I don't know. But we had an encounter with God at camp and we got complacent. We thought that we had an encounter with God and we thought that we're just gonna stay there. But relationships take work, guys. Relationships take work. It takes investment. It takes me getting off my phone and getting on my face. Amen? It takes me getting off of social media and reading the words that he wrote to me. It takes me waking up 15 minutes earlier so that I can start my day with intimacy with him. Just like that video we saw, it will set your day up so well to start your day off with God. Like, duh, right? Can I get an amen? Like, duh, like, why would you want to start your day? Like, okay, let's just take it at face value, okay? The first thing you do in the morning is probably the most important thing you do because it's the first thing you do. Now, I'm not saying, like, you know, like, because I use the restroom first thing in the morning. So I'm not saying, like, I got to hold it for an hour before I got to use, like, I'm not saying that at all. But to be honest, you could talk to God while you're in the restroom. It's not like he's not in there, you know? He sees everything, right? Because some of you all, I know some of you, not girls, but some of you guys like to take half-hour restroom breaks. Listen, praying in tongues for half an hour, it's a good time to do it. Someone walking by, what the heck? anyways, I'm just saying. Why not? Why is Jesus not worth having our attention first thing in the morning? Because I guarantee you, his attention is on you the first thing in the morning. You wake up in the morning and he's ready. He's ready. And we wake up in the morning, we go to our social media, we go take a shower, we use the restroom, we go to school. And then it's like, oh yeah, it's Sozo tonight, cool. Does that make sense? I think I had a scripture for this. So encounters of God are meant to bring us to intimacy. Listen, there's so many times where Jesus heals someone and what happens? They don't like go home. Or they don't like, oh cool, Jesus healed me, and then like they just do their own thing. Like, oh cool, like, you know. Like they get healed and they follow him. They encounter Jesus and they follow him. They turn from the, there's this change, there's this transformation. Does that make sense? So encounters of God. Let's turn to Luke chapter 11, verse 24. Luke chapter, and this is very important, guys, very important, very important. Because this is a principle. And this is, that. Listen, guys, this is not meant to scare you. This is meant to bring you to intimacy with Jesus, amen? And we'll talk about more about what the intimacy looks like in a little bit. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places, seeking rest, and finding none, he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. So just picture this, okay? There's a man, and he has a demon inside of him. He has an encounter with God. He's made new. He's completely cleansed. His house, which is representation of who he is, his being, his body, right? His life is completely clean, and he thinks he's fine now because he's been clean once. But there's no relationship. There's no intimacy. Because here's the thing: when it's not just enough to say yes to Jesus, but we have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to say filled with the Holy Spirit. When we say yes to Jesus, we know we now have to change and transition and transform our life to a life that walks in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Jesus is saying there's no point in you getting clean if you're going to walk in the flesh again, because you're going to be worse off. The reason I cleaned you is so that your house could be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Your body was literally designed for God to live in. And we get in trouble because we let other things live in us. We let unforgiveness live in us. We let insecurities of what people think about us live in us. And we start and we start craving things that were never meant to fill us. And it becomes, what does it become? It becomes tiring, guys. Has anybody here ever been tired of just not being satisfied or not being happy? Right? It's like, I'm just tired of my job, I'm not happy. Or I'm just tired of, you know, I'm getting good grades, but I'm gonna get a good job, and then what? Then what? Is anybody just tired? We weren't meant, those things were not meant to fill our house. The Holy Spirit was meant to fill our house, amen? So Jesus is saying that there's no point in me coming into your life and healing you and doing this awesome encounter with you if there's no relationship established. Because if I completely clean you, listen, you're going to be worse off. You're going to be worse off. That's kind of scary. But not for us, because we know the truth. Amen? Yeah. But ultimately, it's up to us what we're going to fill ourselves with. Amen? All right, moving on. The life of a Christian revolves around intimacy with the Father. The life of a Christian revolves around intimacy with the Father. Turn to your neighbor and say, the Father loves you. Listen, guys, Jesus' decisions came from intimacy with the Father. We don't have time to get to it, but Jesus starts his ministry, and he gets to the point where he's going to choose his 12 apostles. Everyone say a big decision. It's a big decision, right? Like, you're going to choose the 12 people who are going to follow you, and you're going to invest. You're going to live with these guys for 3 years, man. You're going to live with them for 3 years. They're going to follow you everywhere you go. You're going to be with these guys, and then at the end, you're going to trust them to continue what you started. Right? It's a big decision, right? It's a big decision. Here's what Jesus does, okay? He doesn't just go in like, you have a cool haircut, I'll choose you. Oh, you're so strong, I got you. And you can fish, we need a fisherman. Come on. And you're good with money? I'll take you. He didn't do that, right? He didn't do that. He didn't do that. Or he was like, you know what? I'll just leave it. You know what? I'll just let chance decide, you know. I'll let the fates decide. You. Oh, someone there. Try again. Right? Here's what he did. And this is like, oh my gosh. If you guys take anything away from tonight, take this away, man. Or woman. Not woman. Sorry. Oh my God. Take this away, okay? Jesus spent all night praying about who he was going to choose. All night. all night. Some Bible study tools say that it was like 12 hours. He prayed for 12 hours. I don't know about you, but like, I've never prayed for 12 hours straight. I never have. But after reading this, I'm like, if Jesus could do it, I want to do it. I don't know what I'll pray for, but I want to do it. I don't know about you guys, but I'm kind of excited. Like, I think I want to try. Maybe we'll do like an event. Hashtag we are Sozo Youth. So he prayed for 12 hours to make that decision. And so many of us, we're like, we make decisions without, one, inquiring of the Lord. Or two, when we don't think we have an answer, we just do it anyway. Now, let me make this clear, okay? I haven't completely like searched the scriptures for this. So this is kind of but based on this, I think this is a good principle, okay? Like if I were to be like Jesus, like should I pray for that person? Okay, first of all, in the Word of God, it says to love people. You don't need God to say yes, go pray for that person for you to go pray for someone, okay? Like Jesus already said, you know, go pray for him. He said to love him, okay? So I'm not talking about stuff like that, okay? Because honestly, like as a Christian, that should be like an automatic, like, duh, right? Love people. But for things like Lord, like should I Lord, should I tell this person that they're in sin or like stuff like that? Does it make sense? Like maybe you don't need to pray 12 hours to prophesy over someone. Does that make sense? But here's what I found in my life that the deeper questions of life call for a deeper relationship with God. For me, it's just not likely for me to have this roller coaster of For me, it's not likely for me to have like a, for me to live a life of being a churchgoer. Yeah, I go to church on Wednesdays, I go to church on Sundays, and like that is like, and like that is it. If that's all my life consists of, that's not a real intimate relationship, right? It's not. Because your relationship with God isn't based on whether you go to church or not. There's so many people who go to church and they have no idea who Jesus is. They just like feeling good about themselves. Or they come because like the worship is good and the message is really encouraging and they just need to pick me up. Right? If that's my life, where my Christian life is encompassed by Wednesdays and Sundays, if I go to God and I say, God, is this a person I'm supposed to marry? I don't think I'm likely to get that answer. Because a big decision like that, I think, calls for a much deeper relationship with him. For him to say no or yes. At that point, I probably wouldn't hear anything, to be honest, because there's no closeness to him. There's no closeness. Check this out. Go to John chapter 8, verse 25. Speaking about making decisions, Jesus said this, and here's another thing that I feel like just kind of supports that the deeper the question, the deeper the relationship you need for you to get that answer. Does that make sense? Everything in life is designed to draw us closer to him. Any tribulations, any problems we have, any doubts, everything is meant to draw us closer to him. Everything. Unless it's from the devil, then obviously not. Does that make sense? But in one passage of scripture, Jesus says this, ask and you shall receive. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. There's this progression of searching. Does that make sense? He didn't just say ask and you will receive, but he kind of like layers it. Does that make sense? And to me, that just speaks of a depth. That speaks of a desperation. That speaks of a Jesus, I need to know this answer, so I'm going to get to know you more, because I know the more I know you, the more the world makes sense. Listen, the deeper in relationship I am with God, the more the world makes sense to me. The more my life makes sense. So check this out. Then they said to him, who are you? And Jesus said to them, just what I have been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true. We'll stay right here for now. And I speak to the world those things which I heard from him. Actually, no, go to the next verse. Then Jesus, they did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father. Then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing. Everyone say nothing. That I do nothing of myself. But as my Father taught me, I speak these things. Listen, guys, this speaks of intimacy. This speaks of coming to Jesus and sitting at his feet. This speaks of Mary. Only one thing is needed. Only one thing is needed, guys. Hey. Only one thing is needed, guys. It's this intimacy. And we as a Sozo group, we've gotten away from that. I'm talking about the leadership, but I pray and I hope for all of you guys, for you guys just to dive in. Just make that decision that we're going to go after God no matter what. We're going to make ourselves no reputation, and we're just going to seek God, and we're going to keep seeking him because we know he wants to do amazing things, not only in this youth group, but in the city, amen? So it says, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. Listen, Jesus would constantly get away from the disciples. He would get away from everyone and just spend time by himself. He would get away from everyone and just spend time with the Father. And he came back from that mountain, or he came back from that morning, knowing what his mission was, knowing what his purpose was. Amen? Now, what if we decided to live our lives like that, where we had just this constant intimacy, where we knew exactly, word for word, thought for thought, action by action, what God wanted us to do? Guys, it's possible. Jesus is the best example to us. And Jesus didn't tell us, Jesus didn't show us something that we wouldn't be able to do ourselves. God is not that cruel. He's not cruel at all. He's not cruel at all. And so Jesus is showing this principle of this closeness. Amen? Amen. Moving on. I don't even know if these are points, but I guess this would be my last point. Intimacy brings breakthrough. Intimacy brings breakthrough. Listen, guys, I know this is a cliche, but listen to it with fresh ears, okay? Listen to it with fresh ears. The answer to your problems is Jesus. The answer to your problems is Jesus. So intimacy brings breakthrough. For example, you guys remember, Jesus takes three disciples up to a mountain, and he's like transfigured, and like all these amazing things happen, right? But nine disciples get left at the bottom of the mountain. And this man, he has a son who is possessed by a demon, and he like keeps throwing himself into like the fire, he keeps throwing himself into like the water, and like this demon that's inside of this boy just trying to kill him. And poor father, he's just trying to keep his son alive. And so this father brings this boy to the disciples, and Jesus and the three disciples are not there. And when Jesus comes back from the mountain, the father tells Jesus, like, your disciples couldn't cast them out. Can you heal my son? And Jesus, of course, because he's a good God and he's a healer, he heals the son. And then the disciples, they go up to Jesus and they say, Jesus, why couldn't we do it? And he said, some things don't come out but by prayer and fasting. Some things don't happen but by prayer and fasting. Listen, guys, some of our breakthroughs, they're right there. God's just waiting for you to get deep enough to reach it. I'm going to say it again. For many of us, our breakthrough is right there. God's just waiting for us to get deeper with him for us to reach it. Yeah. Amen? Everyone say prayer and fasting. Now, here's the thing. So here's what I'm saying. Prayer and fasting is because in the book of Matthew, Jesus is talking about prayer and fasting. And here's what he says. He said, when you pray, go into your closet and close the door, or go into your room and close the door and pray to your Father who was in the secret place. Everyone say secret place. That secret place is talks of intimacy with just you and the Father. Then Jesus talks about fasting. He says, when you fast, fast only to be seen by your Father in heaven. He said, don't fast like the Pharisees and like the religious people who like when they fast, like they look hungry and like they put dirt on the face and look all like they look like they haven't showered, even though like fasting doesn't mean you don't shower. They look like they're fasting. He's like, don't be like them. Like, don't tell anybody you're fasting because it's not for them. Like, the purpose of fasting is for you to grow deeper in relationship with God. And so he says, when you fast, fast to be seen by your Father who is in the secret place. Who is in the secret place? Everyone say, intimacy brings breakthrough. I'm going to read one more scripture, right? And then we'll be done. Turn to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. We'll read verses 1 through 8. Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when he had come out of the boat, talking about Jesus, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains. And the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. That sounds pretty intense, huh? Yeah, it's intense. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. I think that's amazing, first of all. Jesus just shows up and things are already changing. He went from cutting himself and crying out day and night and breaking chains to now he's worshiping. He's worshiping. See, Jesus carried something. Jesus carried the presence of God. Jesus was, I don't know if you guys know this, but Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. He had the presence. Jesus gave up all heavenly privileges to make himself a man. And then he filled himself, just like us, with the Holy Spirit. And as soon as Jesus showed up on the scene, the presence of God shows up on the scene. Here's my point. So many of us are trying to deal with our problems in our own might, in our own strength. We're trying to control our pornography addiction. We're trying to control our drug addiction. We're trying to control our lust addiction. We're trying to control, I always got to have a boyfriend addiction. And we think, and we have these parameters, and we try to control them, not knowing that really those things are controlling us. Satan only wants you to believe. Here's one perfect lie that Satan will give you. That's proof that you're bound. This will be the last time you do it. This will be the last time you do it. Just this one time. Just this one time. How many times have you said just this one time? Or just one more time? Or God will forgive me for this one time and I'll be good after. I'll be good after. I'll go to church tomorrow. I'll be good after. You guys okay? I'm okay too. Thank you for asking. Does that make sense? Picture this man as whatever issue it is. It cannot be bound. It breaks the chains. You can't control it. But once Jesus shows up on the scene, it needs to bow down to the presence of God, guys. And this is one major key, guys, is that Jesus had intimacy. And that is how you get filled up with the Father, with the Holy Spirit, is you need to be intimate with God the Father. Amen? So check this out. He ran and worshipped him, and he cried out with a loud voice, said, What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High? I implore you by God that you do not torment me. For he said to him, come out of the man, unclean spirit. So many of us are trying to deal with our problems in the natural. And we're trying to control our problems in the natural, not knowing that there's a supernatural cure for whatever we're dealing with. And it's the presence of God, guys. It's the presence of God. if you would just stop trying to do a bunch of stuff and just get in your room, shut the door, and just have some intimacy with the Father, there's so many things that God will speak to you, that God will minister to you, He will impart to you. Like, God is a person, guys, and He will speak to you, and He'll give you things. And He'll give you life, amen? One more scripture, okay? One more scripture. I know I said that already, but one more scripture. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. I love this because I believe many times when we read the Bible, we put so much weight on the commandments that say don't. Like, don't commit adultery. Oh, I got to make sure I don't commit adultery. Don't murder. You know? Don't steal. Like, you know what I mean? You know, like, duh, like, don't steal, right? Like there, many of them, like, we're so set. Like, of course you don't steal. Of course you don't commit murder. Of course you don't bear false witness, or you don't lie. Does that make sense? Like, of course you don't do this. Of course. And, like, we're so familiar with the don'ts, and we put so much weight on the don't do this and don't do that and don't do that. And I feel like we minimize and we don't put enough weight or enough value on the do's. And because Jesus said, don't do this, we think that the do's are almost like an option. Like, we have the option to do it. This is a great example. Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Heavy laden means burdened with the cares of the world, by the way. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Why do we think this is optional, guys? Why do we think it's optional? Why do we think that it's okay for us to hold on to our problems? Why do we think it's okay to be stressed out sometimes? Or in other words, why are we okay with holding on to it? Why are we okay with living with anxiety when it doesn't line up with what He said? Listen, all of us are really good with not murdering. But how many of us are good with this? Hopefully all of us are good with not stealing and not lying. But how many of us are following this commandment? Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. This is a command. This is Jesus telling us. Amen? And the very word He uses, come to me. Doesn't say come to church. Doesn't say go listen to a worship song, although that could be part of it. Church could be part of it too. But it's a personal thing. Come to me. Because listen, guys, encountering Jesus is going to drive you to a deeper relationship with Him. Amen? Bow your heads and close your eyes. If this message spoke to you and you feel a leading of the Holy Spirit telling you that calling you to a deeper relationship, and you feel that you're like, man, Jesus is drawing me deeper and I know it. And I've taken a few steps back, but I'm ready to go deep again. I'm ready to start investing again. I'm ready to start praying and fasting again. I'm ready to seek and search for more of Him. If that's you tonight, I want you to raise your hand. Father, thank you for all the hands raised, God. For the commitment that we're making tonight, Lord, that you are more important than anything else. The commitment that we're making is that we want to know more of you. We want to have more of you. We want to walk with you with a consciousness that you're with us, God. And I just thank you, Father, that every single one of us, you're drawing us near. You're drawing us close to you. And I thank you for every person here, Father, who is heavy laden, God, that you give them rest, Father, right now in the name of Jesus. Give them rest, Father. Give them rest, Father, for their souls, God. Give them rest, Lord, to their minds and their emotions, God. I thank you that they learn to to trust in you, Father, and to cast our cares on you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.